Teddy rolled himself to a computer, punched a few buttons, and within seconds found Aaron Lake. The candidate was en route from Philadelphia to Atlanta, aboard his shiny new airplane. There was a phone in Lake's pocket, a secure digital unit as slim as a cigarette lighter. Teddy punched more numbers. The phone was summoned, and Teddy spoke to his monitor. "Mr. Lake, it's Teddy Maynard." Who else could it be? Lake thought. No one else could use the phone. "Are you alone?" Teddy asked. "Just a minute." Teddy waited, then the voice returned. "I'm in the kitchen now," Lake said. "Your plane has a kitchen?" "A small one, yes. It's a very nice plane, Mr. Maynard." "Good. Listen. Sorry to bother you, but I have some news. They bombed the American embassy in Cairo 15 minutes ago." "Who?" "Don't ask that." "Sorry. The press will be all over you. Take a moment, prepare some remarks. It will be a good time to express concern for the victims and their families. Keep the politics to a minimum, but also keep the hard line. Your ads are prophetic now, so your words will be repeated many times." "I'll do it right now. Call me when you get to Atlanta." "Yes, I will." 40 minutes later, Lake and his group landed in Atlanta. The press had been duly notified of his arrival, and with the dust just settling in Cairo, there was a crowd waiting. No live pictures had yet emerged of the embassy, yet several agencies were already reporting that hundreds had been killed. In the small terminal for private aircraft, Lake stood before an eager group of reporters, some with cameras and mics, others with slim recorders, others still with just plain old notepads. He spoke solemnly, without notes. "At this moment, we should be in prayer for those who've been injured and killed by this act of war. Our thoughts and prayers are with them and their families, and also with the rescue people. I'm not going to politicize this event, but I will say that it is absurd for this country to once again suffer at the hands of terrorists. When I am president, no American life will go unaccounted for. I will use our new military to track down and annihilate any terrorist group that preys upon innocent Americans. That's all I have to say." He walked off, ignoring the shouts and questions from the pack of shaggy dogs. "Brilliant," thought Teddy, watching live from his bunker. "Quick, compassionate, yet tough as hell. Superb." He once again patted himself on the back for choosing such a wonderful candidate. When Lufkin called again, it was past midnight in Cairo. The fires had been extinguished, and they were hauling out bodies as fast as they could. Many were buried in the rubble. He was a block away behind an army barricade, watching with thousands of others. The scene was chaos, smoke and dust thick in the air. Lufkin had been to several bomb sites in his career, and this was a bad one, he reported. Teddy rolled around his room and poured another decaf coffee. The Lake terror ads would begin at prime time. On this very night, the campaign would spend $3 million in a coast-to-coast deluge of fear and doom. They'd pull the ads tomorrow and announce it beforehand, out of respect for the dead and their families. The Lake campaign would temporarily suspend its little prophecies. And they'd start polling at noon tomorrow. Massive polling. High time, candidate Lake's positive shot upward. The Arizona and Michigan primaries were less than a week away. The first pictures from Cairo were of a harried reporter with his back to an army barricade, soldiers watching him fiercely, as he might get shot if he tried once more to charge forward. Sirens wailed all around, lights flashed, but the reporter knew little. A massive bomb had exploded deep in the embassy at 10:20 when a party was breaking up. No idea of the casualties, but there'd be plenty, he promised.